We now go to chapter 3, forms of communication. When we talk of forms of communication, what is the focus on? One aspect could be style of expression. That means when I'm expressing a message, I need to be specific, not general. I need to use words which are familiar. Whether I'm interacting with my colleagues or my subordinates or my juniors, it is most important to ideally focus on the style of expression, especially the situation. Say if it's a conference, a meeting, a presentation. Another important aspect is the symbols and the medium. Face-to-face communication always gives immediate feedback. When it's face-to-face communication, another very important aspect is that a lot of aspects can be discussed face-to-face. Whereas if it is written communication, the receiver has the flexibility to reply at his or her beck and call. So when we talk of communication, it takes many forms according to the way we communicate, which is style of expression, occasion, the situation, the symbols, the medium used. Medium is face-to-face, telephonic. All these aspects as per the relations between the persons involved and other factors. Different forms of communication. We first discuss one-way and two-way communication. Take radio, television, newspaper. These are forms of mass communication. When there is one-way communication, there is ideally no feedback. The interaction is only from one side. Say you're listening to the television. You are listening to a news channel. So it is one-way communication. You may have your views, ideas at that juncture, but ideally you are listening to that news channel. Take for example radio, television, newspaper. All these come under one-way communication. Yes, these are forms of mass communication, because when we talk of these forms of mass communication, they reach out to a heterogeneous population. They reach out to a large number of people at the same time. When it's two-way communication, what is the focus on? Two-way communication discusses, interacts, informs, persuades. In two-way communication, there is ideally a feedback. There is effective interaction. There will be an objective or a goal as far as two-way communication is concerned. One very important aspect of two-way communication, if it's oral, as we said, oral communication allows immediate feedback. If it's written communication, say in form of an email, you would get a reply in the near future or as soon as possible. We go to the next aspect, formal and informal communication. If you have to go for a conference, 90% or more than 90% of the communication or conversation will be formal. There is a preset agenda. Say you want to discuss a particular project. What is the project about? What is the deadline as far as the project is concerned? What are the expectations from the people in the team? What does the top manager expect the subordinates to do? How should they go about accomplishing the goals as far as the project is concerned? Formal communication. Preset agenda, number of participants involved. It is official and binding whenever there is formal communication. If it's written communication in terms of an email, it will be precise, to the point. When it's informal communication, it is casual conversation. Say, take for example your organization where you're working. It is a combination of formal as well as informal communication which takes place in our day-to-day lives. Of course, in an organization, the focus will be more of formal communication. When we talk of formal communication, the way a person interacts, the voice, the tone, the articulation, the diction, all of it plays an important role. Especially if we talk of formal communication in relation to persuasion. Persuasion, influencing the mindset or attitude of a person. Informal communication, it is more to do with casual conversation. There is no preset agenda. Ideally, with informal communication, there is no set number of participants. people could just get involved. Say, for example, you take your day-to-day casual conversations. It has ideally no outcome when you talk of informal communication. The next aspect, verbal and non-verbal communication. What do I mean by verbal communication? Ideally, whatever thoughts one has, one puts it effectively into words. That means whatever my thoughts, ideas and views are, one can put it forward into words and thus sentences. When there is verbal communication, ideally, verbal communication is always accompanied by non-verbal communication. When you talk of non-verbal communication, gestures, smile, eye contact, body language, all this represents non-verbal communication. Eye contact plays a very important role as far as non-verbal communication is concerned. When we speak of non-verbal communication, it is always accompanied by verbal communication. Non-verbal communication ideally may be linked to what you're talking, that means verbal communication, or may not be linked to verbal communication. For example, if I'm discussing a project with one of my subordinates, but my subordinates could have thoughts related to another project, so it could probably show up in the body language, the behavior of the person. Because non-verbal communication always gives hints as to what the person is thinking or feeling. Now, the different forms of communication, written and oral. When it's written communication, the receiver has the flexibility of replying at a later stage. When it's written communication, it has to be precise and to the point. When it's written communication, another very important aspect, there has to be clarity as far as sentence construction is concerned. When we talk of written communication, we are expressing our thought process in words whereby we construct sentences. So it is extremely important that the construction of sentences is appropriate. Also, one very important aspect for written communication, we use concise sentences. For example, in the near future, one word for it would be soon. So we use minimum words. A very important aspect for written communication, avoid slang. BTW, by the way. All these aspects have to be looked into as far as written communication is concerned. We need to avoid slang. We need to avoid negations. Negations, not, cannot, will not, can't. Every sentence can be written without a negation. Oral communication, verbal communication, gives immediate feedback. Verbal communication, our thought processes are put forward in words whereby we communicate. Verbal communication is always accompanied by non-verbal communication. Non-verbal communication, your gestures, body language, eye contact, smile, frown, all this represents non-verbal communication. Non-verbal communication is always accompanied by verbal communication. The next aspect, intrapersonal and interpersonal. Intrapersonal communication, thoughts that go on within our mind. They do not have any logical sequence or an order. I could be attending a conference, but I could be thinking as to what am I going to achieve or what are my goals for another project. So, when you talk of intrapersonal communication, I am the source and I am the destination of the communication which takes place. That means the thoughts which flow within my mind. When you talk of intrapersonal communication, the focus is that even though the thoughts do not have any logical sequence or order, there is constant thought process going on in the mind which may or may not be affiliated to what we are doing or thinking at that moment. Next one, interpersonal. When we talk of interpersonal, interpersonal communication is between two or more people. Interpersonal communication, meetings, discussions, presentations, interviews, all this involves interpersonal communication. When you talk of interpersonal communication, one very important aspect of interpersonal communication is that there is a goal or objective which has to be achieved. That means it is communicated with a purpose. It is communicated with an intention. Next one, internal communication. As the word suggests, internal, within the organization. Within the organization, there could be upward communication. When we talk of upward, communication from subordinates to top management. When we talk of downward communication, communication from top management to subordinates. Say you have a director communicating to all the subordinates in his organization. Say they have launched a new product. Say they want to discuss various aspects in relation to the new product. What is the response as far as the new product is concerned? What about the competitors? So, discussion. When you talk of internal communication, horizontal communication also takes place. Horizontal communication, communication between people of equal status or rank. When we talk of horizontal communication between people of equal status or rank, what is the focus? Say you could have a marketing manager discussing with a finance manager. The marketing manager could be discussing various aspects in relation to how to advertise more about the product. The finance manager would probably look into various aspects in relation to that. So, a combination of people who are ideally at the same level, a combination of people working together who are having the same rank or status. Major points with one-way and two-way communication. One-way communication. Why do we say that it is satisfied with low accuracy? When there is one-way communication, I do not get feedback. I do not really know what the receiver has understood. I do not know what the receiver thinks or feels, since I am the only one communicating. When it is two-way communication, through feedback, through the response, through the ideas of the people who are listening, we figure out or we realize how effective that communication has been. When we talk of one-way communication, as we said, information is in one direction, and for two-way communication, it is interactive. Another important aspect, not concerned with, why would we say not concerned with frustration, confidence and morale problems? When there is one-way communication, the intention is that I need to speak and put forward my message. So, I am actually not concerned as to what the listeners think or feel. Whereas, with two-way communication, if the feedback is inappropriate and if a person may be or sound defensive, then it can create a certain level of frustration. And then, that's why we discuss needs high confidence, low frustration, high morale. High morale, because when we are communicating, we communicate with confidence. When we are communicating, we have that self-esteem, a positive attitude that what I'm communicating, I'm sure it will have an impact. Next one, when it's one-way communication, it wants to keep the amount of time involved. Say when we're listening to the news channel, there is breaking news maybe for some time. So, time is always an important aspect. When it's two-way communication, not concerned with the amount of time the process takes. Two-way communication can also digress. It can, a lot of other topics can be discussed when we speak of two-way communication. It can lead to discussion of topics which were probably not meant to be discussed. One-way communication wants the process to appear neat and orderly. Since I'm the only one communicating, I expect that it goes in an appropriate manner. Whereas when it's two-way communication, we are interacting with the opposite person or people. So ideally, it may not go as per my plan or thought process. When we talk of one-way communication, the person has to be competent to put it forward effectively. When we talk of one-way communication, the person has to sound competent in a manner whereby he or she can convince or persuade. One-way communication can give the perception of being orderly because no one can question. So as we just discussed in the previous point, that for two-way communication, you have the ability to interact or persuade. So you're ideally involving people and then moving ahead. We now focus on verbal and non-verbal communication. Verbal communication caused by the use of words and language. Yes, as we talk of words and language, a language which is understood by you as well as me for communication to be effective. Another one, when you talk of non-verbal communication through symbols. What do we mean by symbols? It is ideally a physical entity. For example, I show you a map. I show you a tent in various areas on the map. What does it mean? Maybe there are campsites in those areas. So it represents a campsite when I show those tents. When you talk of verbal communication, ideally, it can convey complex ideas. It is necessary for discussion and explanation. Yes, the idea of verbal communication is that we put forward complex sentences in the simplest of manner. In fact, if you realize, communication can create miscommunication too. Because when we communicate in a complex manner, then it becomes difficult for a person to understand what you are intending to say. Whereas when we talk of non-verbal communication, it includes everything that is around the speaker as well as the body language. It is said that body language conveys more than words. And the cues and hints given through non-verbal communication, body language, gestures, eye contact, play a very important role because they communicate much more than words. When you talk of verbal communication, it is supposed to be more controlled because you have to be aware of what you are saying. That is why they say that we are exactly aware of what we are putting forward. Whereas when it's non-verbal communication, it is largely unconscious and difficult to control. Say you're attending a meeting. You realize there's some irritation in your eye. It may cause a bit of a problem to you, but you do not realize that because of that, you are blinking far too often. So it is largely uncontrolled. When you talk of verbal communication, it is always accompanied by non-verbal communication. Intra and interpersonal. We've discussed this, but we have the different points whereby each one of them has important aspects in relation to what it conveys. Intrapersonal, what goes on within the mind, continuous flow of thought in the mind. Interpersonal, as we said, between two or more people, we've given examples before, okay? Important method of building and maintaining relationships and working together, When we say important method of building and maintaining relationships, yes, it is through communication that I have the ability to interact. It is through communication I have the ability to resolve issues and conflicts. So, maintaining relationships. When we talk of intrapersonal, many of this are at a subconscious level. Maybe we are not completely aware when we talk of intrapersonal communication. When we talk of interpersonal communication, the interpersonal communication, it affects intrapersonal communication affects interpersonal communication. When I say intrapersonal communication affects interpersonal communication, say you have gone for an interview. You're far too worried since you have to give an interview. You're so worried that when they ask you questions, you're not able to answer appropriately. Maybe at times you are answering something else which is not related to the question. Why? Because your thought process, the intrapersonal communication, at that juncture, your thought process makes you feel that you're scared of the interview. You're scared giving that interview since you may not be sure of what you want to say. So, intrapersonal communication affects interpersonal communication. Thoughts, views, opinions, attitudes, very important. They are part of intrapersonal communication. In fact, your attitude, the role which you play in your day-to-day life, all the thought processes, your biases, your prejudices, all can be a part of intrapersonal communication. Whereas as far as interpersonal communication is concerned, for better interpersonal communication, one has to develop self-awareness. When I say self-awareness, you're aware of, say, your biases. You're aware of your prejudices. You're aware of your own thought processes. So, you have a control over your prejudices, biases, or behavior which can cause trouble to others. Internal and external. As we discussed, okay, movement of messages internal. So, horizontal, vertical, internal communication. Ideally, upward, downward, and horizontal communication. When we talk of vertical, it means line of communication moving up and down. That means between subordinates and top management and subordinates. When we talk of external communication, movement of messages from and to outside. That means from my organization to another manager in another organization. So, when you talk ideally of external communication, the style and tone of outgoing communication affects the organization's public image. Very important. Say you want to hire a PR officer, a public relation officer for your organization. You will definitely look into certain views, as in how effective is the person as far as dealing with the public is concerned. How effective is the person as far as convincing is concerned? How effective is the person as far as crisis management is concerned? Because when you talk of a person involved in the field of public relations, that person is representing your organization. People will perceive him to be a part of your organization, and he will be looked at someone who represents your organization. One very important aspect as far as external communication is concerned, messages are to be properly documented. When I have to represent my organization or speak on behalf of my organization, I need to have the clarity of thought and I need to be aware as to what exactly I'm going to be putting forward. Pass to the concerned person and file for future references. That means all the information I'm putting forward, I do or would realize that if I'm representing my organization, I'm also somewhere giving information which is accurate, which is 100% authentic. Whereas when you talk of internal communication, changes can be brought about in the organization's functioning. How? By modifying the style of internal communication. That means changes are a part of any organization. How do we bring about changes? We gradually move ahead as far as making changes or implementation is concerned. So that changes are always for the better. So that ideally there is a positive outcome. Grapevine. Grapevine is nothing but informal communication in an organization that moves horizontally. When we talk of grapevine, it is unofficial talk, rumor or gossip in any organization. Grapevine can go from one to one, one to many, or it can go in clusters. When we are discussing grapevine, it takes place in every organization. It's just that the degrees vary. At some point of time, if it goes beyond a point where there is too much of rumor or gossip, then ideally it can be difficult for a person to deal with. Internal and external. Moves along the line of authority and hierarchy. When we talk of hierarchy, we are talking of subordinate and top management. External, between people of equal status. Generally, you would have, say, a marketing manager talking to another marketing manager, maybe in another organization. But we are focusing here on equal status. When you talk of internal communication, formal channels, it goes in a hierarchical manner. It goes in an orderly manner. Whereas when you talk of external communication, as discussed, it is between people of equal status, and ideally, there is no communication between people who are not of the same status. It can be no or lesser communication. When we talk of internal communication, of course, it is formal. Why is it that external communication can be less formal? Because they are people of equal status who are very often interacting with each other. Group communication. When we talk of group communication, ideally it takes place in a meeting. When there's group communication, it means there is exchange of information. When there's group communication, it means there is interaction. There could be problem solving aspects. There could be a crisis management which can be discussed. When there's group communication, it allows multiple point of view. A group could have 5 people or 15 people or maybe even more. So there is effective communication. There is active listening ideally when there's group communication. When we talk of group communication, it gives the participants an overview of the organization, and the issues discussed would enable them to appreciate other people's point of view. It's only when people get together in a group, they do interact, understand, and are active listeners as far as others' views is concerned. When there's group communication, ideally there could be multiple barriers. Take for example this situation. There are 5 of you working in a group for a project. The moment a 6th person enters, somewhere you're not comfortable discussing or talking anything more. Why? Maybe somewhere the person is your immediate superior who you're not comfortable interacting with. Maybe you're a bit shy as far as interaction with him is concerned. Maybe there is fear that you may not be able to live up to his expectations or her expectations. So, multiple barriers operate. In fact, as far as group communication is concerned, it becomes easier for us to realize or understand our flaws and improve on them. Last one, mass communication. When you talk of mass communication, it is public communication. One-way communication. I just gave you information sometime back that radio, television, newspapers reaching out to masses, large number of people, heterogeneous population, varied mindset, perceptions, views, thought processes. When you talk of mass communication, it is used for circulating information. When I say circulating information, say you've launched a product in the market. So, you want a large number of people to know about the product, generate interest as far as your product is concerned, give them information as to why your product is beneficial as compared to others. So, we focus on circulating information, instructions for disseminating information about themselves, advertising and propaganda. When we talk of mass communication, it has a single source, maybe through a radio, maybe through a newspaper. So, information is reaching to one and all through that form of communication. When we talk of mass communication, as discussed, audience is heterogeneous. It can establish simultaneous contact with large number of people. Today, we have social media, for example, Facebook, Twitter, whereby advertising is done on a large scale. So, through Facebook, maybe a lot of people would get to know about the product. Maybe someone doesn't read the newspaper every day but accesses Facebook every day. Then the person would get aware of the product through a social networking site. We wind up with chapter 3. Thank you.